biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation this week. Pastor Rock, thank you again for your time.
You're welcome.
I would like to look at a scripture from 2 Corinthians. It comes out of chapter 6 and verse 17.
Now, I have the whole book memorized, but I'll let you quote it anyhow.
Well, it's good.
This is just for your practice.
Yes, sir, my practice. It says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord." I've always wondered about this scripture of who are we to come out from and be separate, and really what was Paul talking about being separate from these folks? And it's not isolation, I wouldn't think. It's not, I don't know. That's okay. Why you're the resident expert.
Oh,
on
wow.
These things.
Well, you've already hinted at the answer.
Oh, okay.
Separation is not isolation. And too many times, God's people have confused separation with isolation.
Absolutely.
And have practiced isolation in the name of separation. Hmm. When God calls us to come out and be separate from the world, He's calling us to march to the beat of a different drummer. He's saying in so many words that we're not to follow the thinking, the value systems, the judgments, and the lifestyles of the world. We're to be different. We're in the world, meaning the world's systems, but we're not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And our citizenship in heaven, not our location in the world, is what should govern our conduct,
wow,
our speech, and our thinking.
Right.
So, in the world, greed is often accepted and sometimes encouraged. But we're to come out from that and replace the instinct for greed with the spirit-born capacity for generosity.
Right, right.
That's coming out and being separate. Separate in our thinking, separate in our values, separate in our outlook, separate in our lifestyle. We are to be different. Not because we set out to be different, but because we follow Jesus, and He is different,
right,
than this fallen, broken, and corrupt world. So the call to be separate is a call to holy living, living that contrasts the normal way of life we see in the world. It is not a call to isolate ourselves from unbelievers, because we're called to engage the unbelieving,
right,
in mission and in witness.
Right.
We're called to go to every ethnic group and to teach them to observe everything Jesus commanded and to baptize them.
Right.
And to introduce them to Christ. You can't do that if you isolate yourself and only spend time with believers and never have interactions with unbelievers.
Right.
So, God doesn't call us to isolation. He calls us to separation. Separation, I live differently than the world. Isolation, I withdraw myself from the world. He calls us to the first, not to the second. Now, interestingly, many times we do the exact opposite.
Exactly.
We allow in our lives the thinking and the values and the habits of the world. We neglect separation, but we engage isolation. We only want to hang out with fellow believers. We have virtually no relationships outside the kingdom of God.
Right, right.
So we effectively reverse the commandments. God says, be separate in lifestyle, but engaged in witness. And we're engaged in lifestyle, but separate ourselves and have no witness.
Right.
And it's not a new thing. This was brought home to me in a way I've never forgotten by a young Jewish follower of Jesus, a Messianic Jew or a completed Jew who had embraced Jesus as his Messiah. And he was speaking in the first church I pastored, doing the Christ in the Passover presentation, showing how every element of the Passover meal that is observed by Jewish people today shouts in its symbolism about Jesus as Messiah.
Right.
I mean, it's incredible. While he was saying, my people, meaning the Jewish people, have always done the exact opposite of what God called us to do. Hmm. In the Old Testament, God called us into actual physical separation from the pagan cultures surrounding us, because he didn't want us to be influenced by them, and he wanted to teach us his truth so that one day we could take that truth to them.
Right.
Then in the New Testament, God called my people, the Jewish people, he said, to engagement, to take what he had taught us over centuries through the prophets and through the Messiah, to take it to the pagan nations.
Right.
So in the Old Testament, we were called to physical and spiritual separation, and in the New Testament, we were called to engagement. In the Old Testament, when God called us to physical separation, we constantly intermarried with pagans and aligned ourselves with pagans. In the New Testament, when he called us to engagement, we didn't want to go to Gentiles and we didn't want to go to Samaritans.
Right.
So he said, as a Jewish believer, he said, when God called us to be separate, we wanted to engage. When God called us to engagement, we wanted to be separate. And that in a general state is true.
Sure.
But it's not just true of Jewish people. It's true of many of Jesus' followers today.
Right.
Where he calls us to be separate in lifestyle, we want to compromise. When he calls us to engagement in the world, we want to isolate ourselves. So the separation God calls us to as new covenant believers, and that's the only one we need to be concerned about, is not isolation from the world. It's following the beat of a different drummer.
Right. When I was...
And then, from that position, engaging the world, because then we both model and declare a real alternative to what they currently know.
When I was living in Georgia... worked at Tocoa Falls College,
mm-hmm.
12 years.
An Alliance-affiliated school.
Yes, sir. And you hit it right on the head. I was ensconced every day. Every contact I had was Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The campus was Christian.
Yes.
So I had no idea. You know, I mean, you get so accustomed to that when you hear a curse word or something for the first time in months, boy, the hairs in the back of your head stand up. You know, you forget the way the world is. would you think that it's wise for us to be wise to the things of the world and to those kind of lifestyles in order to better engage them? Does that make sense?
It depends on what you're saying. In other words, we need to be aware, informed as to how the unbelieving are thinking about God, thinking about the Word, thinking about truth, so that we can shape our witness to address the questions they're asking, not the questions we think they should ask.
Right, right.
But that awareness should come from our study, our reading.
Right.
And that's not difficult. I mean, the world puts its viewpoint out there in print,
right,
on the media. Our awareness should not come from engaging in sin.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Right.
So, I can know from reading, listening, and observing that men driven by lust often visit what we call gentlemen's clubs.
Right.
Strip joints.
Right, right.
And I can be mindful of what Chesterton said when he said, every man that knocks on a brothel door, a house of prostitution, is actually looking for God.
Hmm.
And you know, Chesterton was saying, all of us have this hunger for meaning that was meant to draw us to God.
Right.
But if we don't apply it to a relationship with God, we'll try to address it in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just saying it in a very poignant way.
Right.
The man who knocks at the brothel door is actually looking for God. Well, I can know that without going to a house of prostitution or going to a strip club.
Right, right.
So, I'm not to have the firsthand knowledge. I'm not to go hook up with a prostitute. So I can say, well, when I witness the men who do this, I need to be able to say, yeah, I've engaged a hooker too, and here's what I found.
Sure.
Or, oh yeah, I've been to the gentleman's club as well, but let me offer this observation of it or what's really happening there. No, I'm not to do that, because then I'm disobeying the command to be separate in the name of being engaged.
Right.
And I learned quite some time ago, you never position yourself to obey one commandment of God by violating another one.
Wow. Right. Right.
And God will never call you to violate one to fulfill the other.
Right.
Say, so if you go to the strip club, you're not going to do research.
No.
Remember when we were young men, you and I, people always said they subscribe to Playboy because they read the articles. Everybody just rolled their eyes like, yeah, right. Uh-huh. You're reading the articles. Well, we should roll our eyes when somebody says, well, I'm hanging out here doing this so I know what it's like so I can witness the people who do that. No,
yeah, that's
come on.
Ridiculous, right?
No. So we need to familiarize ourselves with the mindset of our audience so that we can speak in terms they understand.
Right.
And scratch where they're itching.
Right.
But you don't have to actually engage in the activity.
Exactly.
And have experiential knowledge of it. Okay? I mean, I can observe the bondage of addiction and the dynamics of addiction so that I can speak to those in addiction without getting high myself and risking addiction.
Sure, right.
So we are to be students of our culture and students of the Word. We're to witness with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. But we don't have to engage in the evil deeds of men in order to speak to them about them.
Right.
Because that would be violating separation in the name of engagement. And God doesn't call us to do that.
So the separate is a...
Separate is lifestyle and thinking. Right. You've marched to the beat of a different drummer.
Not location.
Not isolation, which is failure to engage an unbelieving world with God's redeeming truth.
Amen. Much clearer. Thank you, sir.
Well, some people have the gift of making the clear muddy. Hopefully, we're making that which is muddy a bit clearer.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
It.